Today on Real Radio.
What is this? And the young man became his priest. And he lived in the house of Micah. Verse 13, then Micah said, listen to this. Now I know that the Lord will be good to me since I have a rabbit's foot. Since I have a Levite as a priest. This is absolutely unbelievable.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament book of Judges. We're taking a look now at Judges chapter 17 and all 13 verses. It's actually a mini-series called So Goes a Nation. Quite obviously, there are many parallels between what took place during this period of the Judges and what we're experiencing in our society today. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Do you realize if you really follow that philosophy through to the end, you will have anarchy on the streets? Because what feels good to me may be very harmful to you. But, I'm looking out for number one. It feels good to me. Where do you end in the justification? Micah has established a religious system that for him covers all of the bases. It's got a little bit of Judaism in it. It's got a little bit of Babylonianism. Got all these basic things in it from these various cultures that had infiltrated his world. And he adopted them all. He made this thing. And now to top it off, he's got just the right little Jewish splash on it. He can rent a Levi. This is awesome. And now he's got this guy there. And deception's like that. It's like a mirage. Have you ever actually seen, I've never seen a mirage, but have you seen in the desert when you supposedly experience a mirage, you hallucinate? Have you ever seen, some people say, when you see water in the desert, you know, you're going across the desert and you see what looks like water up ahead? What's the heat waves rising up? You'll follow it forever, you know, you'll never get to the water because there's no water there. When you start losing your senses, you begin to see it as an ocean or a lake that you're getting towards. Religious deceptions like that. Everything that you and I experience as a believer, we are to judge against the Bible. What is someone saying in the context of religion? Judge it according to the Bible. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are. Whatever they say, search to the Bible and see if what they're saying is true. You do that and you will be a discerning believer. You will never be led astray. You'll never be tricked. You won't be hoodwinked or goofed up by people. But if you don't know the Bible, and if our nation doesn't know the Bible, then it will do anything. And that's where we're at today as a nation. We'll do anything. And people will talk. They'll say, well, this is the reason why we're going to do it. And to them, in their group, it makes perfect sense. Well, that makes sense. And then somebody comes along who's enlightened by the Word of God and hears that dialogue taking place and they'll say, what in the world? You don't want to do that. It'd be better for you to do this. And then it gets big discussion and no, that's crazy. And is it biblical? That's the standard the believer is to hold to. So if we don't do that, there'll be a big, big deception going on in our lives. And Mike is all caught up into this stuff. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, or the last days, some people will depart from the faith. That means there'll be people who look like Christians, can't tell that they're not Christians, but in time they'll wind up giving up. Giving heed, this is what they do. They give attention to, they let their ear go toward the listening of deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. The Bible says that in the last days, there's going to be stuff said in the context of religion that's the doctrine of demons. Demons have dreamt it up. And those demons are out to deceive. It goes on, verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That word conscience seared with a hot iron means that they have been burned to the point in their conscience. It's a very graphic word, church. Listen. They've been burned or seared in their conscience to the point where they can no longer think or feel anything righteous any longer. The word implies that they have been convicted so much by the Holy Spirit without yielding to Him that they don't hear His voice anymore until they get to the point of absolute silence. They can't hear God at all. And when they reach that point, their conscience becomes seared with a hot iron and they're open now to the reception of the doctrines of demons that demonic spirits will bring in the last days. Man, that is amazing. Listen, is the Holy Spirit convicting you of some sin in your life? If He is, obey Him now. Why? Because if you keep pushing Him off, there'll be a day when you don't hear Him anymore. That's a bad day. For example, maybe when you were young, you crossed the line of something that you were not supposed to do. And when you did it, your heart was broken. In fact, your parents could read you like a book. What's wrong with you? Your heart was so tender that when you broke that rule and went against what they had said, you were probably maybe even crying about it, and you got caught. And then you said, I'd never do that again. But you wound up doing it again. And the sting, are you with me, everybody, tonight? The sting was not quite as intense as it was the first time when you got caught. You felt bad, but it wasn't so bad. And then you did it a third time, and watch how the scales tip. You began to do it a fourth or fifth or sixth time. No longer, or maybe now very faint, do you hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And now you're excited about that sin. Where if you just look back 6 months ago, you were terrified about it. What has happened? Your conscience is being seared with a hot iron. And when we don't listen to God, there's a callousness that builds up over our heart. That's why the Bible says our hearts need to be circumcised and made tender again. And that's done by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of what's good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow. What a list. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're living in those days today. But according to their own desires, this is exactly like Micah. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers. They'll gravitate toward, quote, Bible teachers who tell them what they want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's written to every believer. So in verse 11, he says there, dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me. Be the authority in my life. Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man. He was happy about it. This is cool. I got a job. This is sad, you guys. This is a Levite. It's kind of like you went to university. You got a degree. You got an architectural degree. You can build anything you want. And now you're pumping gas because things have happened in your life and you got all this knowledge. Because of your upbringing, because of your exposure and experience, you should be doing greater things. And I wonder how many times in my own life God is saying to me, Jack, come on, tune in. I want to do greater things. In our lives together, as a church maybe, we want to do greater things. Come on, church, the Lord is saying. This guy's a Levite, and he's being hired by a guy to do this little thing. He's got a little shrine. The guy should be working for the Lord at the temple. He's working in this guy's living room with this Pardo temple set up. It's hokey. It's pathetic and funny at the same time. This guy thinks it's great. The word, he's content. Oh, this is great. Got a job. Pulling down some clothes. Got my food. Then it says in verse 11, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated the Levite. So where did Micah get the consecrated certificate from? See how funny this is? What gives you the right? I do what I want to do. It's what I want to do. And I now consecrate you, Levite. Thou beest consecrated. Go and consecrate. For thou art the Levite. What is this? And the young man became his priest. And he lived in the house of Micah. Verse 13, then Micah said, listen to this. Now I know that the Lord will be good to me since I have a rabbit's foot. Since I have a Levite as a priest. This is absolutely unbelievable. You see how dangerous this is? Church, listen. I'm not exactly walking with God, kind of, sort of. I got a Bible. I go to church pretty much, like every other week I go and tithe sometimes, It depends. I got some loose change, doing my thing. But, kind of doing this too. And God's kind of cool, He's cool. And so I got this. Things are going pretty good my way. Must be that God is with me now. It must be that things are okay. Got a little religion going on. I won't speak up to people about how they might need Jesus because I might offend somebody, so that wouldn't be cool. So I don't do that part. But things are all right. Kind of checking all the bases. Got my job. Got a change of clothes. And this guy calls me father or priest or whatever. It's going all right. Then Micah turns and says, now God will be good to me. See, he brings actually the name of the Lord God of Israel into the scenario. You see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? He covers the whole shenanigans with the name of the Lord. Grab your Bibles. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll end here, I think. Yeah, we'll kind of end here. Look at verse 20. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, that is the day of judgment when Christ returns, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That is, by the way, an affirmative. They did prophesy in his name, whoever they are. And in thy name cast out devils or demons? Whoever these people are, they really cast out demons in the name of the Lord. And in thy name done many wonderful works, miracles. They did miracles. Wow. Verse 23, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And he goes on to that incredible, awesome description about who is building his life upon the Lord. Upon the Lord. Not a shrine, not a religion, but upon the Lord. The wake-up call is to this. There will be those in the end who did miracles, who preached in his name, and cast out demons, and in the end, they will not inherit. They'll not come into the heaven. I don't know what you think about that, but that's pretty radical, don't you think? So, were they sincere? Don't you think they were sincere? I think Jesus makes it pretty clear they were sincere. They did miraculous things. Do miracles prove that you're going to heaven? If miracles prove that you're going to heaven, then Pharaoh's magicians should be in heaven. They did everything Moses did. The Bible says that the Antichrist, when he comes with his false prophet and all of the deceitful workers who will lead many people astray by signs and wonders, they do miraculous things. They're not going to be in heaven. Are you all caught up and swept up with someone who is very charismatic, and when he touched you to pray with you, you felt all these feelings, and whoa, that person's powerful or whatever. Oh yeah, what's their doctrine like? What do they say about Jesus? What do they say about themselves? Even still, be careful. Why? Jesus sent his 12 disciples out to do miracles during his Galilee ministry. Do you remember? And they went out and did miracles. Later, 70 were sent out and did miracles as well. They all did miracles. They came back, and what did they wind up reporting? Lord, this is awesome. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. Did you hear that? That's what they said. Even the demons obey us in your name. Jesus says, don't rejoice over that. That's nothing. Rejoice rather because your names are written down in heaven. You say, oh, that's cool, but who cares? I care because one of the miracle workers had a name of Judas. And where's Judas tonight? So be very, very careful about setting things up and having a little montage of religion. Very liberal climates will have this deception in their minds. They fooled themselves to think, if I just cover all of the bases, kind of like those in Greece, that spirit still lives on. If I'm just very, very polytheistic, have set up a shrine to this god and a shrine to that god and have all these various things going on so that no god's offended. If I just kind of cover all the bases, then I'll be cool. I'll be polytheistic. I'm a little bit of Hindu, a little bit of Muslim, a little bit of Christian, a little bit of Jew, a little bit of... Scary. So what are we to do with the lesson that we learned from this? Number one, it's just the last verse of the night. It's this. It's Matthew 6, 19. Very important. Listen, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures. This is important because a treasure could become an idol. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy and thieves break in and steal. Isn't that kind of funny? You have a little god set up in your house and somebody comes in and steals it. Don't you think that's funny? Who took my god? What am I going to do? Couldn't the God protect himself? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor thieves do break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is your passions, your devotion, your values, your issues. What are your issues? The Word of God would say to us tonight, what are your treasures? Are they things that you're sending up into heaven? Are they there? I hope so. I pray so. Man, aren't you glad today, the last 2 days, where the stock market, unbelievable. But you guys have been hearing that for months here, haven't you? Even longer than that. I mean, I'm not a financial advisor, but I know my Bible. And we have been announcing to you over and over again, watch out, hard times are coming, things are collapsing, things are coming, falling in. Watch out. 2 years ago, I warned you that the value of the dollar was going to go way down. Trust God, lean on the Lord. My fear tonight, we need to pray for those people sitting in businesses from Los Angeles to New York City, that executives and stuff, and people who are managing retirement accounts and stuff for people. Why? Because suicide often follows days like today. Because when people lose their money, they've lost their God. Their treasure was not in heaven. It was right here, and a thief came in and stole it. When you and I breathe our last breath, church, believe me, where we're going, you want to be investing. You want to be sending investments there every day. And how you live your life, the decisions you make, what you do. We want to be sending our treasures ahead. Because you have them here, and you're going to be bitterly disappointed. We're very blessed people. God's given us a lot of stuff. But you know what? We thank Him for it, but we don't cling to it. Because that which has great value, we've already sent it up ahead. When we do Tony's funeral, or I should say celebration on Saturday, there will not be a U-Haul trailer parked out front because he's taking stuff with him. No, he ain't taking anything with him. There's nothing from this earth of any material value that you can take with you. But as a believer, every day we live for the Lord, we're sending it up ahead every day. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Hey, you know what? Our investment portfolio and our insurance and our retirement is absolutely governed by the chief, the perfect Lord God of heaven and earth. That's where we're going. I hope you're going there. You can say to Him tonight, Lord, that's where I want to go.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at Judges chapter 17 in all 13 verses. It's actually a mini-series called So Goes a Nation. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we examine what took place during that period of the Judges and what we're experiencing in our society today. In the meantime, we'd like to extend an invitation for you to get in touch with us here at Real Radio. And there's more than one means to do so. You can call, click, or write, and we'll give you the details on that in just a moment. Now, there's more than one reason we'd like to hear from you. First, quite obviously, we want to hear from our listeners. And we want to know how the outreach of Real Radio is affecting your life and growth as a believer in Messiah. Secondly, if you have the desire to partner with us here at Real Radio, that will ensure that this outreach continue here on the air. Remember, Real Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. That doesn't necessarily mean large contributions. It simply means that we want our listeners to partner with us. Now again, you can call, click, or write. Our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. All contributions are tax deductible. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And finally, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, and all of our contact information can be found there, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.